ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
They'll accept them, but they refuse to come to Pastor Dwight and bring him back into the fellowship, even though he did nothing wrong. Isn't that interesting? And it hasn't been an easy decision for me. Now, we're not part of the Calvary Chapel Global Network, which is what Brian Broderson, Pastor Chuck's son-in-law, who took over Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa and all the Calvaries, is part of. We removed ourselves from that. We're part of the Calvary Chapel Association now, and we'll see what happens. My work is, we're sister churches, so there's no board over us. So I'm really sorry, but you can't tell me that I can't teach 25 to 30% of the Word of God. I'm going to teach on prophecy when we come to it. That's just the reality. How do I negate it? I go from Genesis to Revelation. And I realize some of you guys in the men's study think we'll never get through Revelation. But, you know, we're in chapter 7. We're moving along. But why do we want to embrace false teachings or false teachers? It's not going to happen. We're not called to go along with the flow. We're called to swim upstream against the current of this world. And the church today wants the world, they want to bring the world into the church. Where do you find that in the scriptures? You don't. But the world will never love us. Exactly. Where do you find in the scriptures that the world is going to love us? Jesus says, if they hated me, and I'm paraphrasing, don't be surprised when they hate you. Okay? So, I'm not saying we hate the world. We love the people of this world. We want to bring them to Jesus. But we don't let them influence what we do in the church. We let God influence us. Because a little compromise will take you so far away, guys. And we see that here in the book of Judges. We need to stand strong upon what God's word says. And I don't care what people may say. Because if they speak against the word of God, they're wrong. But for Asher, they did not drive them out. And here we go, once again. Their failure was related to their disobedience to the word of God. Look at verse 33 here in Judges 1. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth Anath, but they dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath were put under tribute to them. So, we come to the tribe of Naphtali. And like the others, it was too difficult to drive out the enemy. They followed the trend of the other tribes, and it's hard to go against what everyone else is doing. And that's what I see here. I think many times, and I'm not sure why this is, but I've heard people say this, you know, well, you know, if it's hard, then it must not be of God. He must have closed the door. I don't see that in the scriptures. Read the New Testament and just look at the life of Paul, for that matter, and all that he encountered as he lived out his faith and shared the gospel message. It was difficult. There were battles. Why? If you are living for the Lord, do you think the enemy wants you to share your faith with others, to shine for him? Absolutely not. So he's going to fight against you. And what happens is we let these discouragements, these difficulties cause us to, well, maybe I shouldn't do anything then. If you're being attacked, that's a good thing because the enemy, it means you're working for God and the enemy's trying to stop you. When you look at Israel, God never intended Israel just to conquer the whole land instantaneously. It was not going to happen quickly. In Exodus 23, verses 29 and 30, and Deuteronomy 7, verses 22 through 24, we see that. That God intended to give them the land little by little, but they needed to go in and take it. All of it. And I guess maybe they thought if we can't take it easy, we don't want it at all. We'll just take what we can. And these inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath were put under tribute. They fell short of what God commanded them to do. And again, their failure was related to their disobedience to the word of God. One more, hang in there. Look at verse 34. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down to the valley. And the Amorites were determined to dwell in Mount Heres, and Ajalon, and in Shalbim. Yet when the hand of the house of Joseph became stronger, they were put under tribute. Now the boundary of the Amorites was from the ascent of Akrabim, from Selah and upward. So here we see the people of God being pushed around by their enemies. And you know what? It shouldn't happen. We're walking in the power and strength of God. When the house of Joseph was strong enough, when they were greater than the enemy, then they put the enemy under tribute. But again, they weren't supposed to do that. They were completely to drive the enemy out. One writer put it like this. He said, there is a dangerous and seductive form of pacifism in the Christian life, which ignores the reality of the spiritual battle so clearly described in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20, and referred to by analogy in the book of Judges. This pacifist attitude will happily make a peace with the devil that basically says, I will not harm your interest if you leave me mostly alone. This attitude of spiritual surrender is unacceptable for the Christian. Leon Trotsky, the infamous communist leader, said at least one correct thing. He said, you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you. To take an attitude of spiritual surrender is to willingly lose that war. Absolutely. I mean, we see that. The enemy is pushing Dan around all the way to the north. And it was a result of not completely destroying the enemy. They lived in defeat. And it was a result of their disobedience to the word of God. And I want to focus a little bit now at the consequences of not obeying the Lord, of disobeying his word to us, because God is really clear. You know, today we have this problem where, you know, well, the world has its ideas, right? And then we bring it into the church and, well, let's discuss about it. Let's have a meeting. Let's talk about this. But there's not much to talk about because what God has said, that's the bottom line, right? I mean, what's there to discuss? For me, it's like if you want to have a discussion, bring lots of food because it's going to take probably 2 minutes. We'll read God's word. This is what God has said. We're done. Let's go eat. You don't discuss what, I mean, we do not have the authority to change what the author of this book put together. So all we can do is read it and accept it and apply it to our lives. So the first thing I want to look at as we disobey the word of God is that there will be confusion in our lives. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 20. In Deuteronomy 20, I want to pick up in verse 15. And this is what we're told. Whoops, am I in the right place? All right, well, it's somewhere in Deuteronomy. That does not look right. Give me a minute, yeah. But I'm not going to take too long. I'll just read what I have in my notes. Because obviously, my typing was bad. This is what it says. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock. Cursed shall be when you come in, and cursed shall be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. It's pretty clear. If we refuse to obey the voice of the Lord, there are many things that will come upon us. But the one I'm talking about here is confusion in all that they set their hands to do. And some will say, oh, that's the Old Testament, you know. Well, here's the thing. Don't you think God still wants us to obey his voice? So, of course, there's confusion in our lives when we don't obey it, when we reject his word. We start to question things. And even our decisions, we wonder if we made the right one or the wrong one. And the only way we'll know if we're right or wrong is we follow his word. You know, remember the Tower of Babel and how God told man to fill the earth, and instead of doing that, they remained together and built this tower reaching up into the heavens to worship the gods by. And God brought them confusion as he confused the languages. Their plans were frustrated, and God accomplished what he wanted them to do in the first place. He scattered them over the face of the earth. You know, James 3:16 says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and evil things are there." Well, yeah, envy, self-seeking, that's not obeying God. That's fulfilling the lusts of your flesh. And there's confusion in our lives. And the only thing, the only solution to that is obey the Lord. Follow his word. Don't deviate from it. Just obey it. Why? Here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 14:33, Paul said, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." A few years back, someone tried to bring in some false teaching into the church. And it was so interesting because it brought confusion. People were confused by it. They didn't understand. What is this? And I actually had to take a Thursday evening and go over what we believe. Are we saved by grace? Or are we saved by the law and grace? And I spent the whole evening teaching on that. That brought not confusion, but peace and understanding, because it was the word of God. When you try to bring in the law with grace, you bring confusion, because now you have to say, well, Paul was wrong in Galatians, or we don't understand what Paul was saying in Galatians, that you're not saved by the law, you're saved by grace. You see, that's confusion. When you let God's word speak, it's very clear. There's no confusion, there's peace. And I like that. And that's the way it should be. God wants to give us peace, peace that's found in him and his word. Also, if we don't obey the word of God, there's conflict. Internal conflict within our hearts is really the idea here. Because why? Because if we're believers, the Holy Spirit is going to convict us, is going to show us that you're wrong. And so we have this sense of uneasiness, of doubt regarding the things we're doing. What do? You bring it before the Lord. You open up his word and let the Lord by his spirit guide you. And if what you are doing or saying goes contrary to what God's words has said, you're wrong. You need to change. God never needs to change. And there's a cost. When we don't obey the word of God, it can cost us in many, many different ways. And we could lose relationships, maybe a job, maybe financial loss. And of course, that intimacy we have with God. And also going along with the idea of cost of not obeying the Lord, there is a loss, either emotionally, physically, spiritually, or all of them. You know, when David sinned with Bathsheba, it affected him emotionally, spiritually, physically, all of those, until he repented and got it right with God. And if we don't obey the Lord, if we don't follow God's word and we're moving away from him, in the end, we're going to regret it because we're not going to win this battle. Because Father knows best. And, you know, here's the thing. The last point is this. God loves us too much to leave us heading in the wrong direction, so he will discipline us. Because he wants us to get back on track, back on the road that he desires for our lives. And the whole idea, what God is trying to do is to get us to trust in him more and more with all of our heart, not leaning on our own understanding. To be able to trust what he said in his word. You know, one of the wonderful things to me is when God says that I can have assurance of my salvation, praise God. Because if our relationship with God was legalistic in nature, you do this good deed, you get a check mark in the good column. You do bad deeds, check mark in that column. You may not make it. So what, our good deeds have to outweigh our bad deeds? Our God is like Santa Claus. He's making a list, checking it twice, seeing who's naughty or nice. I've told you so many times before, you're all naughty. That's just the reality. I'm not trying to put you down. We're all naughty. We can't save ourselves. Praise God for Jesus, who has saved us from a sin and extended that grace, something we don't deserve, eternal life with him, freely. And the work he's begun in us, he'll complete. I trust in him. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." That is so important for us to understand. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't think the world has the solutions to our problems. And I'm talking about spiritual issues here. The world doesn't. Do they get it right sometimes? Of course they do. Of course they do. You know, sometimes I get it right with the Chicago Bears and they win. Not too often this year. It's kind of sad. But why not go to the wonderful counselor who gets it right not most of the time, not 98% of the time, but 100% of the time. You know the reason we don't like to do that? We don't always like what he's telling us. And we like what the world says. And I've seen that far too often. I mean, I worked in the ICU. I worked for 30 years in the ICU. And I remember certain patients of mine very, very much. This one woman who tried to commit suicide. Just devastating when you see that. And the reason she did was she was seeing a counselor. And her counselor said, you know, if you're not happy with your husband, divorce him. Okay, she divorced him. The husband ended up getting remarried down the road. And his life was going on. Her life was miserable. Why? Because she listened to worldly advice instead of what God's word says. As simple as that. Am I saying that her life would have been easy if she stayed married to this guy? I didn't know this guy at all. I don't know what he was like. But I know it would have been best for her. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you know better than God. You don't. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what's he going to do? He's going to direct my paths? You mean his word is like a light to guide me? Exactly. You know, I'm preaching to the choir here, and this is not new big revelations. But like Peter said, we need to be reminded of this stuff because we forget so easily when we're going through difficult times in our lives. The children of Israel thought they were wise in their own eyes. Yeah, I know what God said, to take the land, to drive out the enemy. But look, they're working for us now. This is a good thing. They're helping us out. In the end, God was right. If God takes the time to tell us something, it's important that we need to listen and learn from it and apply it to our lives. And it's interesting, you don't listen to the Lord, you start moving farther and farther away from him. But if you trust in the Lord, if we acknowledge him and allow him to direct our paths, if we fear the Lord, we're going to depart from evil because we're following the Lord. And it's going to be health to our flesh and strength to our bones. How important that is, not only in our own individual lives, but the life of the churches throughout America and really throughout the world today. Preparing for failure was the message, but not a great title, but a true title. If you're not following the Lord, if you're disobedient to his word, you're preparing yourself for failure. I'll just share this story with you. It's kind of cute. The story goes like this. My son Michael was 4 years old the night I found him sobbing uncontrollably in the hallway. Concerned, I knelt next to him and drew him close. What's the matter, sweetheart? Are you hurt? He shook his head and turned to me, but I was unprepared for his response. Daddy said a bad word to me, he sobbed. I almost laughed out loud. I had known my husband 12 years and he had rarely heard him raise his voice. But Michael had heard him say something, and I was curious enough to want to know what it was. Honey, what bad word did Daddy say? And seeing a chance for sympathy, my sensitive 4-year-old stopped crying and blurted out, "Obey!" Isn't that what our Heavenly Father says to us? And when we fail, when we fall short, his arms are always open wide for us to return to him. I love that. Obedience is not a bad word, it's a safe word for us because our Heavenly Father has what's best for our lives. And please understand that the children of Israel didn't, you know, start out by saying, you know, we're going to forsake the Lord. We're not going to listen to him. We're going to go in our own way. I don't care about the Lord anymore. Not at all. They decided that they would be satisfied with far less than what God had for them, though. That was the problem. And in the end, it brought them trouble. I don't think Christians start out by saying, you know, I'm going to forsake the Lord today. Not at all. What's the big deal? You know, on my tax return, it's not a big deal. Government has money. I'm just going to lie on here. It's a little compromise. And a little compromise there, and you keep moving farther and farther and farther away from the Lord. And we're not satisfied where the Lord has us. And we're not taking all that God has for us. And there's the danger. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I think we all believe that. Until we go through a really difficult time. And then it's like, Lord, what's going on? What are you doing? Can we trust in him? It doesn't say I can do most things through Christ who strengthens me. Or the 50-50 chance it's going to work out. I can do all things. But it's not always going to work out the way we planned it, but it's going to work out the way God planned it, and we need to be obedient to him. All things. Paul in Hebrews 10, verses 36 through 39 said, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." It is tough out there, and tough times do come our way. And when the work we're called to do seems empty, when you don't see the fruit, you don't see any, like, it seems like nothing's happening, when God's promises seem so far away, understand God is always there and he's always working. You know, we want instant fruit. You know, you don't plant an apple tree and within a year you get the fruit from the apple tree. It takes time, doesn't it? And it's true in our own lives. And Paul's saying, continue on, because this endurance is built through trials as we go through them, as we're growing in the Lord, as we're maturing in the Lord. Allow them to work in your life. And Paul closes that section out in chapter 10 by saying, look, the Lord's coming back. Don't lose sight of that fact. Walk by faith. Live by faith. And that's a great encouragement to me. I mean, as I look at the wickedness of this world, the Lord's coming back. As I look and see how dark it's out there, the Lord's coming back. As persecution comes my way, the Lord's coming back. You got to have the correct perspective. The Lord's coming back. Well, what if I die before he comes back? Hello, you're with him. You didn't lose anything. So what? But persevere, continue on, fight the good fight of faith. You know, our faith is going to bring us to glory, not to perdition. Because our faith is in Christ. Our faith is in his promises. We're not those who shrink back to destruction. We believe to the saving of the soul, Paul said. Because our faith is real. It's going to stand the test of time. It's not that our faith is going to be perfect. It's not. I'm so thankful that we have the examples in the scriptures of men and women of faith who failed miserably. Now, I realize, you know, you read Hebrews chapter 11 and it's a great hall of faith and there's nothing really negative about these guys, right? It's like they walked on water. They were perfect. They never had any problems. Well, God is gracious and merciful in Hebrews chapter 11. He only tells us their walk of faith. He doesn't tell us their failures. We read that in other parts of the scripture. And that's our own lives too. God is working in us. He never gives up. In fact, after that hall of faith section in Hebrews 11, Paul opens up chapter 12 of Hebrews by saying, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." In other words, look at those who have walked before us to encourage us to walk by faith. Don't let sin entangle you and trip you up. Follow the Lord all the days of your life. And I know it's not easy. It wasn't easy for the children of Israel. We're learning the lessons from them that, you know, they tried to take the easy way out and it cost them dearly in the end. But like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. May we not prepare for failure, but really for victory as we follow the Lord's instructions to us, as we're obedient to his word, as we walk by faith and not by sight. Keep your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, another difficult lesson, but an important one, Lord. You always have those words of encouragement for us, that you want us to continue on. You want us to forge ahead. You want us to earnestly contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us. You want us trust in you with all of our heart, not lean on our own understanding, but acknowledge you. You want to direct us. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to start this week off following you in all that we do. And we know we're going to blow it. We know we're going to fall short, but you don't give up. And I'm so thankful for that, that the work you started, you will complete. You will take us to glory one day. But Lord, here and now, empower us by your Spirit to have that work, walk that is worthy of the high calling by which we've been called in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.